welcome back to the information channel Joy Tactics. Today we are discussing the well-known concept of Agamemnon. We are going to be introduced to the topic by voice actor Eric Rahill, who is currently not using ChatGPT to find out what it is, but just thinking about how he's going to start it out.
Welcome to Joy Tactics, the podcast dedicated to all things joyful, joyous, and meeting as many celebrities as humanly possible. Hosted by Eric Rahill, Nate Veroni, and Jack Bensinger. Enjoy.
Eric, Agamemnon, take it, me and Eric, Nate. What do you never think? Heard of this.
What Bro, think, I wanted Jack, to take a second to talk about before we started the episode. I was going to think, oh, we'll gather together.
You're running
we'll
away
figure
from
out
this.
What the story of Agamemnon is. It's an amazing name. It touches Greek history and even the, you know,
Greek people.
It even touches the story of Clytemnestra. I'll put it that way.
What is it, dude? What the fuck is Agamemnon? What the hell is it, man?
Is that like QAnon from back in? Is that ancient QAnon? Agamemnon.
Well, it honestly is giving me like it. This is so gross, but it feels like it's in the category of like, I'm not going to even say it. It's one of the grossest things ever, but it feels gross. You know what I'm saying?
What? I wonder where you were going on that. Smegma. But I'm not
it feels like something like a schmegma. Schmegma.
That's how you held back on smegma after all the other shit you dropped on this pod.
That's a good point. You know what word?
That's
fucking,
the line.
You know what? That's where I draw the line.
You know what word really fucks with me what? Mental, and I hate hearing it. When people call the president POTUS.
Oh, God, man.
POTUS, a president of the United States.
Don't fucking say that.
Well, some people don't have time to fucking say that entire string of words.
If they were multisyllabic with it like me, because I could say it quick. President of the United States. See what I'm saying?
Right.
At which point, I'm advanced. So, what the fuck is Agamemnon?
Bro, who was Agamemnon?
Okay, who?
He was the king of Mycenae, or sometimes Argos, depending on the myth. And the brother of Menelaus, whose wife Helen was taken by Paris of Troy, sparking the Trojan War. Ring a bell? Now you guys are becoming more familiar.
Oh, the horse.
Because you remember that Trojan horse, even though that might be something else.
Okay, so I could describe act 4 of this play.
Because you saw it last night in the dance. This is why it got brought up.
I saw a dance interpretation of that last night.
Me and Jack at different times went to go see our buddy Jess's wife, Ying, dance in the Martha Graham.
So this was
with the Martha Graham company at the Joyce Theater.
Of this story?
Basically, Martha Graham, she's an amazing, one of the most amazing modern dancers of all time. She's passed away.
Say what you want, yeah.
She's passed away now. But in the 50s, she did, she choreographed a retelling of the story of Clytemnestra, who is the wife of Agamemnon, which we all know now.
And I literally lost. Nothing that you've described has like penetrated like into my brain, and I have a great like zero
turn.
Understanding of what this so is,
and
why you chose this
turn?
To talk about.
Yeah, go.
All right, ride with me for a second. Basically, last night I found out that I have another major knowledge gap that blew my fucking mind.
What?
So we were talking about me and my two friends, Dan and Joe, were on the train and talking about different rest stops on the Jersey Turnpike. You got the Grover Cleveland, and then you got John Bon Jovi. Why has he got a rest stop? Mm-hmm. He's still around. And then someone goes, isn't there a Helen Keller one? And then we're saying, is Helen Keller from fucking New Jersey? It doesn't feel like those two things should exist in the same universe.
I know, I thought she was from the Plains.
Well, so she is from down south. I can't remember, maybe Mississippi. But I thought, I was like, that's not possible because she's was born in like 1300 and died when she was like 15. And that's when I was made
aware.
Don't they
say water weird in New Jersey? Like
water.
Worder?
Water.
Worder.
Isn't that the word that she said?
Water.
She didn't
Kelly?
Say any words.
No, bro. She did say words. She said,
"I
am not dumb."
Right. I remember that now.
Well, so what I was made aware of is that this person was alive until she died in the 1960s.
Right.
I thought this was like a straight up Victorian era like really? Tail.
You thought she was European?
I thought so. Maybe she was here in like the 1600s rocking around with the willow trees before we had made our independence. But I didn't realize that she was around to be made aware of I Love Lucy if she wanted to be knowing about that. Do you see what I'm saying? Right. She's hella around. She maybe even saw the microwave drop. Not, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean?
She must have, I mean, she definitely saw some crazy shit.
So you both knew that she was
I knew.
Around.
I frankly yeah. knew. And just because I remember that telling, the telling of that story from class so vividly.
What story?
The story of her basically
getting a
problems
disease.
With being deaf and blind.
She flew an air, what problems? She flew an airplane. She spoke all over the world allegedly. Right. A lot of people think she didn't exist. I do nah, because I saw a video of her speaking.
I've seen it too. And I can't believe yeah. I forgot she was able to speak in the end.
She had a great sentence.
That's like the big story is like she is like right. couldn't speak.
That's act said, one, boom, and blackout. Then, right. you come, then it comes up and she's fucking.
Not everything is like a story, like a, you know, a screenplay, Eric, by the way.
Not to you, man. Not to you, man.
Blackout. That's theater, Nate. That's theater.
Listen to the children of Agamemnon. He was married to Clytemnestra, who we saw portrayed last night, didn't we, Jack? And in the,
I had a hard
in
time
the dance,
following the
well,
dance.
But listen, remember, in the dance, Clytemnestra has killed
is that one person?
Agamemnon. Yes.
Clytem and Estra?
Clytemnestra has killed Agamemnon, and she's being haunted by his ghost.
I remember the ghost.
In Act 4, which is the part that we saw last night, about a 25
minute dance piece. So Agamemnon was real? Was a real person?
Right. This is a real person, but I think some things were fictionalized, at least in the dance part, especially when they were fucking prancing around.
So what's the lesson here? This is like revenge, like getting revenge by murdering someone else's mom? I had a dream last night that I shot my brother in the head. Not my Damn. Actual brother, but the brother that I had in my
dream. In the
dream. And then it was crazy. I won't get into it, but it was crazy.
Well.
Basically, I was sad because now I was going to... What I did is I blamed somebody else for it. See what I'm saying?
Right, that's a first mistake.
That was my first mistake. But I eventually owned up to it and was forgiven of my sin. Dream analysis.
You manned up in your dreams.
I manned up in my dream and I found out that that was the right thing to do.
Damn, I need to man up.
Should that be what we talk about today?
Manning up. Manning well, up. We still haven't fucking gotten to Iphigenia, Electra, and Orestes.
Just give me the, just say it as, like, I'm just not understanding this, Eric. Say it as simply as you possibly can. Give me the spark notes because this is your specialty, Eric, is summarizing.
Eric is currently things. Scrolling on ChatGPT. It's like 40 paragraphs. It is so long. Eric, show the camera.
Also, this is what I want to ask you, Eric. If ChatGPT was a person, what would they say to you from your searches that you...
They would say, stop leaning on me for emotional support. You got this. And by the way, we're using this as a joke, right? To show how bad it is, right? We're getting close to the enemy. So know thine enemy, right?
People
so
are really using ChatGPT.
Right. Even Trump, actually, to make crazy political decisions.
I want to use it. It just
Do you have a premium account, Eric?
Yeah. Because the shit that I'm putting in there, the shit I'm having it calculate is melting those NVIDIA chips like fucking, like milk chocolate.
Right.
In a microwave.
What was it? Oh, I feel like this would be so fun if you downloaded the Rocket Money app, Eric, and just like...
You'd like to look at where my shit's going.
How much money you're wasting on monthly subscriptions. You have every single monthly subscription on planet Earth. Like, there's like... There's not a single monthly subscription that you don't have. That you
call
don't.
It out. See, call one out and see if I have it.
Okay, let's see. Does well, I know this one just because I think it sparked the whole subject. But you were like a monthly subscriber to Strava, and you like never
not anymore. I got that one.
You caught that one. And you canceled it.
There was a time when I was using that in the pandemic.
But at an event like years that you... By the way, this is what we want for the Patreon. We want people to forget about it and just like, right, you just know, keep years it later, running. What the fuck? I'm subscribed to the fucking Joy right. Tactics. Fuck this shit, man.
What else? Shout out another subscription. So see if I have it.
By the way, the hat still got the tag on. If you're rocking the hat, keep the tag on. Jack, keep the tag, bro. I don't know why.
We haven't gotten too many fit picks yet, but because we want to see not only the shirt, but how you style that as well.
You talking
boot cut with the boot cut jeans?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We want to see what you're doing in it too.
Right. Yard work.
Yeah.
Setting it on fire.
Mortuary leading services. Mm-hmm.
Public speaking event.
Mm-hmm.
Some sort of treaty. If someone could fucking just even get near a treaty of some sort in the hat or the
a treaty
or the shirt.
A treatises.
That's a free. You get treaties? The shirt. You get the money back. If you could get near some sort of treaty.
There's probably one in a museum.
Well, that is
no count. An active.
Like
treaty,
I'm saying,
bro.
Like an active treaty that's being actively written right now. If you could get near the document, like I don't know what they write it in, a Google Doc or final draft, not final draft, but maybe it has its own sort of documentation right. system.
Treat X.
It's possible. Treat X. Man.
So Agamemnon is Greek. It's a tough one to go back to as the anchor for this episode.
So yeah, just give me to the best of your knowledge, Eric. Give me because I just need to hear it again for it to soak in.
Oh, you want to hear the breakdown?
Just say ChatGPT.
Agamemnon. I did it. I already did it, bro. That's what's funny.
One,
you
that's
guys
the
are,
one sentence.
No, fuck. It's not what you can't. By the way, if you try to start digesting giant topics and giant stories in one sentence, you lose out on a lot of the color.
Well,
right.
You don't always have that luxury when you're getting in an elevator with Judd Apatow and he says log line or you're out.
All right. This will take 2 seconds, all right?
All right.
Agamemnon, king of men, by the way, returned home from the ashes of Troy after that Trojan War.
I thought this
war.
Was a chick up until now, but okay.
Nah, this is
keep
a
going.
Fella. He had a wife named Clytemnestra.
Okay.
Crowned in hollow glory. At his side stood Cassandra, sexy Cassandra. Cursed,
Cassandra?
The cursed prophetess.
She's got the 90s name, everyone
and
else.
And spoil of war. That means she was taken. Whose eyes saw doom, but whose tongue none believed. As the gates of Mycenae opened with smiles, yet within its halls. The gate with Mycenae opened with smiles, yet within its halls lurked silent vengeance. Clytemnestra, queen and widow, in spirit, long before his return. Right, she was fucking done with his ass. Welcomed her husband with honeyed words and hidden blades. The blood of their daughter Iphigenia cried out from the earth, and in the steam of his bath, Agamemnon paid the final price for the war he waged and the child he betrayed. Steel met flesh beneath the guise of love, and prophecy came to pass.
I'm gonna be honest, I stopped listening like just as soon as you started talking. Like,
bro,
even, like
basically
the second...
Agamemnon. It sounds like Agamemnon fucked up in war. Iphigenia, his daughter.
All right, I'll tell you right now. Ready? I just used Google.com.
All right.
The Agamemnon is the story of arrogance and the downfall.
See, this is what I wanted. You went into like the poetry of it. Like,
no, you're supposed to digest like what soliloquy. I give you and make that, you know, and come to your own conclusion that it's a story of arrogance.
So he was an arrogant king.
That's
did
right,
he,
bro.
Did he fall? Was there a fall to him? Did he get killed?
He was killed by Clytemnestra, his wife.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dude.
Got it.
Dude. I will say, watching them.
So it's like a reverse O.J. Simpson sort of situation.
That's correct. It's these dances, like you know, were coming out in the '50s, and they're still putting them up to this day, and it feels like you're watching something from 1955. Like the costumes are the same from back then, the set design looks the same, and
the bodies are not the same. I'll tell you that much because they didn't have creatine back then. These fools
they're
jacked, and they are 0.001. 415-92653.
Where does creatine come from? Like, is there an ancient version of it?
Red Bull. You boil Red Bull and then you take the syrup at the bottom,
mm-hmm.
and then you smoke that shit. That's creatine.
What the fuck is creatine, dude? Because I'm taking creatine that shit every
is
day.
Is a substrate of a non-ionic covalent compound. Doesn't it sound like I googled something?
It does. It really does.
It's got to be a molecular structure if I had to guess. Am I wrong?
I think it's derived from red meat or...
Well, sure.
It's like a derivative of meat.
It's a naturally occurring substance found within meat, plant...
You see that? That's Clytemnestra. That's Martha Graham Clytemnestra.
Eric, so that's like a famous like dance performance?
Through Martha Graham, right. Yeah. Right.
We shouldn't be seeing like this, you know, be exposed to stuff like this.
Dance? We should be, man.
Dancing is cool. It did make me think like, yeah, I would I do have things that I want expressed physically. And to see people who are expressing things physically, it did make me think, yeah, I feel that way. And it I'm glad they are.
This is the performance, dude, essentially. Dude, you see the rapidness of the movement?
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
That's fucking Clytemnestra.
If you're just listening, we're watching someone basically wrapped up in a red sheet who is revealing themselves. They're moving. Now they're skinny again. Now they're putting it out wide.
This is why, bro, I was watching that. Maybe you thought the same. We are more probably choreographers than dancers at the end of the day.
I had a lot of ideas for them. So there's one piece about war where they're all fighting over this actual physical spotlight. You see what I'm saying? Which is a metaphor for the that struggle one was of sick. Leadership. And what I wanted them to do was, why don't we evolve? And I want to see them fighting to get out of the spotlight. Once they reach the full conclusion, interact with the light in different ways.
Like the light is a character.
So I went up to
the performance.
Well, the characters need to change because whatever. Because I went up to them afterwards. I said, "Did you ever think about having them come try to escape the cycle of war?" And they all just started taking their leather, moleskins out and being like, "Keep going." So yeah. So making waves as always, making waves throughout all sectors. Today, financial. Through the market's collapse right now. Anybody that's out there worried about it, say it with me. A setback set up for a comeback.
That's right.
So the market is about to fucking explode. Give it 6.5 years. Once Pete Buttigieg takes the reins.
Violently takes the reins.
Pete, please, we need you. We need a violent coup from fucking Pete Buttigieg. Please, dude.
Pete Buttigieg needs to stab one of his eyes out so we get our own kind of style, liberal style Dan Crenshaw. And that's when...
If he had an eye patch, dude, it would be... Oh, wow. That's all he's missing is, like, an eye patch. And he needs to just walk... He needs, like, kind of... I say the opposite about this for a lot of people, that they need better posture. But I feel like his posture is way too good. And he needs to kind of slouch over. He needs an eye patch. And
look at Bernie. Look at Trump. Their heads are down below their fucking belly buttons.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's like you're more trustworthy if you're... If your posture is bad, I think. And he needs a vice. You know what I'm saying? Because every politician has their vice. Donald Trump has many vices. Barack Obama, cigarettes.
One.
What?
Really?
Donald Trump's?
He smokes cigs?
No. Barack Obama.
Oh, right. We know
I'm
that.
I'm saying every Obama, political figure has flaw. Their...
Oh, Trump's Joe vice Biden. Is getting peed on. He likes to get peed on.
Right. So Pete Buttigieg needs like... He needs a public vice so people can relate to him more. Like, oh, he's not so perfect. You know what I'm saying?
What they should do? They should get Pete up into one of those rage rooms where you're breaking fucking computers and shit and have one of the employees leak the footage and be like,
damn, 8 hours a day of rage room streams.
He was cursing online, I just saw. I can't remember what he was talking about, but I remember that he cursed, and I thought, Pete.
Dude, he needs to curse way more, dude, way more. And not the fucking, dude, I hate when politicians think that, like, saying damn is, like, you know, a curse. Like, that's not a curse word to them. That's like, dude, say, I don't know, just say something horrible, Pete. Like, say
something unforgivable. Well, you saw what fucking Andrew Yang said, remember him?
What did he say? I almost can't even repeat what he said.
He called Greta Thunberg a cunt.
Did he?
I'm asking.
Why are you joking about that?
I'm not joking. I'm asking. Is
who's calling her that?
Nobody. Better
Yang
be.
Gang.
Better not be. Yang gang. Dude. Oh, here we go. Bro, I almost shouldn't repeat it because it's so fucking profane. He says, Andrew Yang says, I fucking hate these fucking tariffs because they're so fucking stupid. 70,000 likes on wow. X.
Here's my theory about stupid. The tariffs. Is that all of the elites are got together, okay? All of the Trump-style elites, they're got together, and they're like, we're gonna purposefully tank the economy, okay? Mm-hmm. And we're going to do this through tariffs, through a bunch of different methods, and it's going to take, you know, 6 months. The market's going to go down, you know, 80% or something like that. Let's even go for a full fucking stock market crash. They're knowing that, and they're all going to buy up at the dip, and then, you know, that's my theory.
It's a great theory because this is the way that political trends tend to happen, is up, down, up, down, up, down. Look at Kamala. Right. What happened? When she entered the race, she had 3 weeks where she looked like she had the fucking cheat codes on in Elden Ring and she was slicing everybody out. All of a sudden, you see, this is the nature of the news cycle, the nature of politics. You just can't sustain that for an entire cycle. Mm-hmm. So starting at a low approval rating, starting with a crashed economy, yeah, it's almost as right. if building he's setting up, himself up to up. Take credit for what the actual grassroots movements that are going to fucking save the stock market through whatever us doing whatever we have to do. I don't know. I'm busy, but doing that type of thing.
Is this going to be the episode that really takes off in the algorithm for us? Because we were discussing this earlier. Somebody had a comment that was like, you. Did they comment on an episode or something or message us? They were like, you shouldn't have teasers because it messes with your algorithm.
The algorithm.
But I was saying, I don't think there's like an algorithmic like stop for any of our like.
There's no world in which someone stumbles upon like, this and is like, let me check this fucking yeah. Zoom. podcast out.
There's not a
can you
category.
Imagine us getting on the trending page of YouTube like with the the Zoom like.
Let's look at some of the titles recently. I go to Patreon. You're telling me that it's not popping up in the
what is
algorithm?
Being a merchant,
what is being a merchant is not popping in the algorithm. Occupy Wall Street,
Wall Street,
a tragic poem
tragic
of
poem
language of protest.
Mm-hmm.
That's not popping up. Tattoos. That's one simple word. How could that not be popping up in the algorithm? See the word tattoos and you see some.
We need someone
on
the inside of YouTube. I know there's somebody out there that's in the fucking inside. Can you just turn on that button for us and get us.
Please.
Just get one. Literally one single video trending. Please. That's all we ask for. One episode. Your dealer's choice.
Do you get? I know we were talking about this before the podcast started, but to everyone listening, if you can't see me, I got a haircut that makes me look like I work at a vape store in Belarus.
Eric got the undercut.
I got... No, I didn't know. Don't call it that, bro. Please don't call it that.
What do you call it?
Undercut.
The undercut. Remember when all the chicks were going zzz, in the summer? Wasn't the inside of the... It was like
yeah,
one side.
Well, I don't know actually, but continue.
Basically,
oh, I know
basically there's
about.
Nothing I
yeah,
can do
yeah.
about this. It's just how it is, and it's fine. It's not who I am. I'm more sort of.
I think you should bring. Wild. You should lean in and keep the sides shaved up and do a crazy
even,
mohawk, and do like a really long dyed hair mohawk and bring that.
Yeah.
Dude, that is not even a part of, like. I guess our sphere of individuals, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I feel like there you could popularize a whole hairstyle and be a trendsetter, Eric.
Who's one of the electronic musician? Maybe
Skrillex.
Think of it. No, not Skrillex.
He had the original undercut.
That's right. That's right. He had a medieval haircut. But now doesn't he have like a zaddy haircut?
Now he looks fucking good.
Everybody looks so good these days. Scott Stapp from Creed looks so good, if that's his name. He sounds good too. He's the male Shakira. I could tell they have similar singing techniques.
Is Creed doing like arenas?
Mm-hmm. Creed?
They're doing MSG times three. They're doing it all.
It's not looking too loud on there for you, bro.
Check 1, 2. How about that?
Yeah.
Now it's looking very loud when I speak. Yeah.
Damn, so Jack and I went to Atlantic City, man. We were missing you. We were missing the fuck out of you. And, oh, wait, Jack, do you know what? Someone messaged me because I posted that picture of you in the Burger King hat.
Okay.
And she messaged me and she was like, is he about to say it? Because you know that classic video with the guy on the airplane in the Burger King?
No.
No.
You will once I fucking show you the picture of this guy.
Is he about to say it?
Yeah, man. Is he about to say
it? I never got so much love in my life than when I was wearing the Burger King hat around every casino in Atlantic City. People were loving that. Everybody was saying, hello, King. I forgot. I actually forgot I was wearing the hat when I walked in. And when I was registering, whatever you call it, checking into the hotel, the lady went, hello, my king. And I said, hello, queen. And I didn't remember.
That's funny.
Then I remembered I had the crown on. I thought she was just calling me king because she was flirting with me or something. And I remember there's a Burger King merch on my head.
This guy doesn't look a little familiar to you?
Oh, he looks good. I've never seen him.
You've never seen this video, Jack?
No, he looks great. I've seen him. Is he going to say something racist?
Do you know what I Googled?
No, I don't.
Burger King hat racist.
All right, so that's not good.
Okay, all right.
He says something pretty bad.
Well, that's not good. And no, I didn't say anything bad when I was wearing it.
I was wearing a piece of clothing that people were commenting on recently as well.
What was that?
And it was actually the coat that you and Layla gave me.
The camel coat?
The camel... how would you describe that? Is that a trench coat?
Camel duster.
Trench coat, maybe?
Yeah.
Anyways, I wore that down. I was walking down, like, on where, like, the Hollywood Walk of Fame is, you know, in that area. And I was, like...
What was the temperature?
What's that?
Was it cold outside?
It was pretty chilly, and that's why I wore it. And I was going to Musso and Frank's, and I was like, this seems like the perfect coat to wear, too. A nice steakhouse. And somebody, like multiple people, some guy was like, look at this fucking Inspector Gadget. Like, some guy said that to me. And then another guy said, I got the money, you got the stuff.
Wow, now what that
is so
from,
fun.
Because I understand that as a reference, but from what?
So
what's that from?
I think it's just in the zeitgeist of, like, you know, opening up your coat.
Yeah,
you know,
oh, I got the money.
Knives and stuff or whatever.
Is there two more children under your... Are you on another child's shoulders?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Nate, how much would you like, if you were in the Matrix, to walk through a metal detector with 40,000 guns under your shit and pull it out Neo style? Isn't that
something that we all saw and thought, peak male fantasy.
Amazing.
It would be interesting. Do you get in trouble for if you go through a metal detector at the airport and you happen to have, like, head to toe fucking guns on you, and you're just like, oh, you can throw those out. I'm sorry.
No, oh, it was my bad.
Yeah, I don't need those. You can throw them out. Is that okay or what?
I don't know. Do they have weapons? The TSA, I forget if they have. Are they strapped at all? Is one of them strapped?
Yeah, one of them is strapped. There's one that's
one,
the final boss.
One mystery one is strapped. And then they don't even know who it is. So if something happens, they all know.
Who's got the fucking gun?
Wow. Here's my question with that scene, though. Because when I was a kid, I played the Matrix, Enter the Matrix video game on PS2. And I remember thinking at the time, hold on a minute, I understand killing Mr. Smith. Because he's an evil machine that's trying to enslave humanity. Now, that makes sense to me. However, this idea that it's not a problem to shoot all the other guards and kill random-ass people, which is basically what Neo's doing in The Matrix, isn't he still killing people? Or right. Is it because they're still part of The Matrix that they're actually the enemy? And there's no saving them until... There's no liberation for humanity until
that's a great point. That is a great point, Eric. I've never thought about that.
Because those people
aren't
pods.
Literally... Because once you die in the Matrix, you die forever.
Right.
So...
What's that poor guard have to do? That's just a poor fucking guard trying to make a living in the Matrix.
But what's the other option?
He made a choice to take the red pill at one point, didn't he? So he said,
no, no, not the random guard. Not everyone gets the pill choice.
Oh, well, then God made him take the pill.
There is no God in a world of machines.
You should have a blow dart. This is what you should do. Have a blow dart of the red pill and just put them in people's mouths.
Damn.
And then everyone's kind of waking up in the, you know, in the pod.
That's good.
I have an outfit. I have a sweater that I've probably worn on the podcast that I got from Goodwill. And it looks like I'm in, like, the Zion Matrix. Like, it's like,
is it kind of like tattered a little bit on the bottom?
It's
is it
a
brown?
Little tattered. It's like kind of like a barely green, brown, beige color. And mm-hmm. I look bald and I look like I got caught like drunk driving the Nebuchadnezzar, you know, like I look like I was like, like I look like a guy Dude. Who's like in jail in the Zion.
What do you mean you around. Look bald?
What do you mean I look bald? What are you talking about?
Like, it looks like you're bald.
Like, I am bald, and just with my current hairstyle, you know? Like I just look like I got caught drunk. I look like a walking mugshot of, like, a drunk driver. And, like, and other things, too.
If you were in Matrix Zion, you would have non-racist, non-offensive skullet dreads, bleach blonde coming down with that shit on.
And I would be the chef making all that busted fucking slop that they make. What the fuck, man? This shit again?
Well, I think we were talking about Zion and the Matrix about 40 times, but it just sounds fucking sick. There's at the center of the earth, there's a fucking party happening at all times.
The firmament.
Yeah. And actually,
well, the raves is what, like, that's what makes it tight. Because everybody's into, like, it feels like there's a monoculture in Zion where there's like there's like maybe two DJs and they're all kind of into like the same electronic music. Like, I don't think there's like a variety of genres in Zion. Like, I think there's just like electronic music and you fucking dance this and get all sweaty and horny in the fucking caves and you go out and you go back to your fucking, you know, little metal apartment and then you just have sex, and that's just every day, I feel like, for them, because they don't really do they have jobs.
Their job is taking down the machines.
They have UBI.
yeah,
UBI. And back to Andrew, Mr. Yang comes up again. Pioneer of UBI.
It's amazing. Dude, it's an amazing concept.
Mr. Yang,
do you guys believe that in the, like, I've been seeing that Bill Gates is popping off about AI, and he's saying that, you know, we're going to be working 1 to 2 days a week in 10 years. So we're already working 1 to 2 days a week for the podcast. Right.
No, but by the way, for the podcast, so speak for yourself, because the things are participating in are taking much more time than that once in a while.
Right. You're door dashing in Taos, New Mexico.
Researching a role.
Door dashing at the Eco Homes. Hello.
Taos.
Nice place.
Eco Dome. Hey, I got,
I'm hungry as fuck.
I'm so hungry. It's awesome.
What are we going to have for lunch?
Nobody knows yet.
What should we have for lunch, Nate?
You guys should. Well, you guys need to bring down. You guys are spending too much in New York.
So I'm not.
You guys need something cheap. You guys need to recoup, you know, some funds from Atlantic City and that. So I say you guys go to the bodega, get some peanut butter, get some white bread, and that's all you got.
That sounds so good.
That's all you got for the next couple
mochi
weeks,
dude. We could make mochi or onigiri out of peanut butter. Like Matrix style.
Right.
Like
get creative.
Let's think about it. I might do some halal food. Halal food.
It's raining out today, but we're about to go get Mormon soda in down island, downtown.
What? Mormon soda?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What's that mean?
Oh, I didn't tell you. Well, yeah, in about 20 minutes, me and Raleigh, and you're welcome to come, are going down to a part of Manhattan I can't remember the name of. To go to a special Mormon soda shop.
They got Mormons in New York City?
They're hiding, but yeah.
What's it called?
I don't know yet.
Is it a place in Utah that is like a They sell crazy. It's like soda with cream in it.
Yeah. I don't remember the name of it, but
it's called Italian soda, bro. They took that from the Italians.
Oh, like a phosphate?
Damn. So Mormons, you're they Australian. Believe that. What's that?
Tropic Thunder. You're Australian. Oh, right. Be Australian.
We talked. We met a guy. It's a great guy. Who I've never. He knew every quote from Tropic Thunder. Basically, spoken almost movie dialogue.
No, he did the full scene from Pineapple Express. I loved this. He did the full scene from Pineapple Express when they're in the woods, when the car's broken down in the woods. Seth Rogen, James Franco. Fuck him, by the way. Fuck that guy. But he's going, all right, I'm done with the woods. Let's get the fuck out of here. And Seth Rogen's like, the car's broken. And James is like, all right, what do you mean? Let's go. Let's get out of here, man. Done with the woods. Hit it. It's just like, what do you mean done with the woods? I can't be done with the woods. The car's broken down. We can't move. He goes, what do you mean the car's broken? He's like, it's broken. It doesn't work. It ceased to exist. And he's doing the full script.
Full scene. Every word perfect.
Giving me nostalgia. I loved it.
That's incredible. So nobody's doing that anymore.
Oh, you know a quote? Nice, dude. You're not off book on Pineapple Express like I am. Open on black and white crane shot in a field. tilts down or moves down underneath. We see a full. I'm doing it. We see a full operation underneath the ground. Bill hit cut to Bill Hader singing jazz music.
You should, Jack. You should never write scripts. But just if anybody wants to like read your script, you have to like verbally like read it to them from memory. That would be incredible. That would be disrupting
the entire
industry.
Do you think as AI becomes more prevalent and people use all this fucking shit to write their stories, or at least assist in it, do you think there will be something valuable about a no technology one-on-one meetup for story pitches?
Surely. Surely.
Wait, what did you say?
Meet me out fucking in the woods. I'm going to tell you about my limited series idea. It's going to take about 3 hours. I'm going to have to download it to you just verbally we did around the fires back when we were living in caves.
I think the way in New York, how there's like you can go get your palm read in the like a little tiniest storefronts you've ever seen in your life all around the city. It'll be like that, but it'll be for people who are off book on all the great comedies from the 2000s. Come into Hot my ride. Lair and yeah. we'll do Eight Crazy Nights.
Eight Crazy Nights.
Eight crazy ass night Jewish nights.
You would have there would be like a parking lot or something, and then they'd have to walk to a trail to get to the campfire, and you would have laid out rolls of film that lead to the fire.
Oh man,
wow,
dude! Imagine an Italian film style restaurant where you're eating fucking pappardelle that has been stained with food dye to look like strips of film, and you can pretend to be eating fucking Apocalypse Now on 200mm.
Wait, I'll do the nostalgic Latino.
Now that's creative.
Do that, Nate. I've never seen you do that. That's the best one, man. Jack.
All right.
What is that face? Why do I fucking love that face? Fun. There's a he posted one yesterday. Oh man, I have to. This shit disturbs me. There's this like 90s nostalgia that is. Have you guys seen this on TikTok?
I just thought of a good rhyme. Let's 90s nostalgia, now. Fibromyalgia.
Fibromyalgia. What the hell is
I
that?
Wish that. I just want to have a normal life.
I've been watching Love on the Spectrum. Are you guys watching?
Oh, dude, I'm waiting to watch that until I get home.
It's so that show is so hard not to like binge.
Who's your favorite?
Well, of course, James B. Jones.
You don't like Connor even more?
Is Connor? Oh yeah. Connor has a pretty good story this time around, probably halfway through.
I've seen some against my will clips of it on TikTok already, and I'm seeing that he's fine.
I would say Connor's confidence has like risen like crazy since the last season. Yeah, like he's like it's Yeah, but James would be, I was so excited James was back because James is my favorite. And I want a whole show just his family because him and the dad, like just him chilling in the apartment or in this house and his dad's like just yelling at him. They have just the funniest like relationship ever. Like I just want a whole show based on James B. Jones and his dad and his mom.
I love his ass. Who else is there anyone else on it that's totally... Why I can't find this fucking video.
They have some new ones, but it's mainly people that they brought back. Like Adon is back with Danny, you know, the animation chick.
Danimation.
The guy. Yeah.
Remember when in the last season she's like is liking this guy kind of all right on a date? But her dream is to be with someone that owns an animation studio.
She's like,
what do you do for a living? And he's like, I do this. And then she's like, so you don't own an animation studio?
Yeah.
And that is the final straw.
When they're outside.
That's, yeah. She's that's like, funny. I think I more want to be someone that has an animation studio. But good for her for having fucking expectations and sticking to
And guess
to
what?
Them, dude, not settling.
We see her animation on this season, and it's pretty good. Yeah. Like I was
I've
like,
seen it
damn.
Online. I follow her ass online.
She's pretty good. She's talented, some chops for sure.
She could be in many anime as a voice too.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. Hi. I mean, her and her man should collab because he does like voice acting. You know,
who he's Adon?
Like Adon does like.
Bro, are you telling me she's still
voices.
With Adon?
She's still with him, but I mean, there's like I'm only halfway through, and this is like, do you want me to spoil some stuff?
No, a little nugget. Chill. Right. Give me one.
Well,
nugget.
You will find out their relationship. There is a contentious thing going on in their relationship, and they're
is it about
trying
religion?
To work it out. Huh?
Is it about religion?
It does have to do with religion.
Are you serious?
Yes. Yeah.
I just guessed.
Yeah. Yeah. Good job.
What's it? What is it? You're not gonna spoil it.
I mean, all right. I'll give it. Eric, do you want to?
Yeah, you could tell.
It's not really. Come on, just
you tell me. Tell me, bro. All right. I don't want
to. Just
care.
if you really don't want a spoiler, I'm gonna give you a second right now just to skip or something. But Danny wants to fuck Adon really badly, and she makes a whole animation like for their anniversary that says like it's like happy anniversary. Like, can we do the deed? And it has them like going into a bedroom and like getting freaky underneath the sheets, and he's like really uncomfortable, and then. So that's kind of the dilemma that...
Because he wants to be married first.
Exactly. Mm. He doesn't believe in premarital sex.
Good for him.
I kind of wish I would have had a premarital, like... Because you imagine that first time, like, that lead up to it.
I want that,
to
first,
that first
love.
I want that first kiss. I want that first hug. I want that first...
That first, that wedding night bust. Sex. The first bust of your life. Wedding night.
First
after a
bust.
Crazy event. Wow. You're around all your family and friends.
Yes.
And you just like bust.
Bust.
For first, for
guess what?
First time,
I'm about
basically.
To bust later tonight.
Thanks everyone for coming. Now it's my turn. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, right. Get in. And
everyone's like, so excited for you too. More excited at a wedding like that because they're like, damn, this guy's about to like, they're both about to like.
You've never busted in your life. You got fucking a forehead vein the size of a fucking purse. Drooping over your eyeballs.
I'm good, man. I can go another 17 years.
Dude, let him bust. Get him in the back room
it.
Right
I
now, dude.
It.
Holy
I
shit.
I don't need it.
That shit's got to be. There's got to be some pathetic bust, too, for that style of living, too. Because, you know, it's not like good sex or
it's
not lasting long.
Well,
but
it's
maybe
like when you get
studying.
A,
maybe they do know how to do it.
You know, when you get a Brita water filter and you kind of have to run it for a little while before you use it. I wonder if the first bust is like cobwebs, but then the second and third is like, oh, yeah, I needed that.
There should what be... else? Wait, so are you guys more of an Iphigenia, a fucking Electra, or?
I had some autistic popcorn recently. There's
what
a
does
popcorn
that mean?
Company. It's the popcorn company that's. Ran by autistic people. They
sold it
popcorn.
At the Bon Jovi rest stop that we went to in New Jersey.
Yeah, the John Bon Jovi rest stop.
Do they have different types of flavors?
Different flavors, delicious. I would like to see a show called Love Off the Spectrum that's produced by everybody from Love on the Spectrum. that is reframing.
If it were people with autism documenting neurotypical people and actually seeing the odd behavior that we engage with in something that we considered normal.
And that's what basically Jersey Shore
exactly.
is.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Nate, do you watch Love Island?
No. I've seen like one episode of it, but
why are you're not watching that under the sheets after Jane goes to bed? On an Android tablet?
No, man. I don't do that. I play Paths of Exile 2 on the Steam Deck, dude.
You think I should play that?
Actually, I just fucking downloaded the update, and I was playing it co-op with my friend, Derek, and we were having a blast, dude. It's really, it's like, I've never played a kind of Diablo-style game like that, and it's fun as fuck. And it's all about, like, it's not that hard, but it's more about, like, leveling up. Because I think we were talking about this on a previous episode. The best feeling in the world is leveling up your shit, your armor, your gear, your spells. I'm a sorcerer in this game, so I'm leveling up my fucking spells, getting new spells.
Good.
It's pretty easy to level up, so you're just getting that feeling over and over again of new spell. You're upgrading your fire blast, your ice wrath, your firewall, you know, is uplinking.
So you're telling me you're not a dedicated mage to one element? You have multiple elements under your control?
No, many. Many. I have fucking lightning, fire, ice, and probably many more. I'm guessing there's a water one coming.
Earth. Bro.
I'm guessing there. I wouldn't put it past, you know, this the developers to add a earth style, magical attribute to this character.
Now, this brings up an interesting topic for me. Which style of sorcery do you guys think that you would be most adept at?
What is
earth?
Oh, okay. Well, that's a great question, Eric.
Jack, looking away.
yeah, I got a text. I probably got a short today, but good shit. I love video games too, by the way. I love it. I love you guys. What you guys do?
All right.
I'm gonna take this seriously and say fire. Of course.
Of course. How could you not say fire?
Okay, Jack, I think you're electricity for sure.
Electricity?
The electric fucking spells.
Interesting.
And Eric, you would be...
dark energy, water, sorcery.
Hair gel or something.
Hair gel?
Hair gel. Gel. Different like gels coming out of my wand.
Yeah.
But like, some of that's poison, too. That's
it comes out really slowly,
syrup.
Too.
Syrup.
And it's like very viscous, and you have to like, and it's sticking to your hand.
I have to like whip it on them.
You're like,
but once that fucking gets near your eye or near one of your orifices, that's very dangerous.
It's so hard to KO an enemy. Like, you have to get it so precise on one of their eyeballs. So easy to dodge. It's like those splat things. You know those things that kids have where they splat it up against the
hand.
The wall?
Yeah, I know about that. That's funny.
I like air. Now that I think about it, I know that air is considered a weak
one.
Oh,
yep. Air is not to be played with, dude.
Yeah.
You know about tornadoes, right? And cyclones as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Air gets so talked shit about because it's not as pretty.
Well, air gets talked shit about until you don't have any at all. Then good luck. You got about 30 seconds.
That's right. The denial of air. Sucking, that'd be such a cool move as an air wizard to suck all the air up out of space and time. That'd be sweet.
Yeah, that'd be tight.
They kind of had that instance in one of my favorite movies, Spaceballs by Mel Brooks.
Oh.
And they have a vacuum that goes up to a planet and it sucks out all the air. And they're like, oh. They need to get the air back.
Damn.
Yeah, we got to get the air back.
Oh, here's what I thought of. Heart. You remember that show where it was like Captain Planet?
Yeah.
Of course. Heart.
Well, one of them, they were like Earth, Water, Fire, but one of them was Heart. And it was like, I don't think that's a part of the, you know, the elements, really. Like,
that you don't feels think like that love it. Is an element? Lust?
You're
you don't
so think offended. That there's a... This is the most offended you've ever been in your life.
You're out of your mind, man.
Love is not a physical, I didn't say scientific element, but you're a fool if you don't think the metaphysical has elements of its own. Heart,
right.
Mind. Oh, of course there is. Heart,
soul,
mind, literally soul. Yeah. Don't even get me started about magma. I guess that's back to physical.
Let's get the metaphysical fucking Avengers together. What would their things be? Heart, mind, soul, lust.
Lust.
Body.
Arguing.
Body?
Yeah, that'll be me.
Wait, body's physical. There's one physical one that gets to hang out.
And they do
the driving and stuff, yeah.
They do the driving.
The medical physical people.
All right.
Oh my god, I'm blowing through this book, dude.
What book, bro? You're 10 pages in. Zaddy Smith.
10 pages a day, bro.
Zaddy Smith Northwest.
Are you doing 75 hard, Nate?
No, but I'm doing a version of it. I'm just reading 10 pages a day. I do it first thing in the morning, and I've been sticking with it.
That's nice.
And you know what? This is the thing. With 10 pages a day, you're like, man, this is like nothing, you know? But then 2 weeks go by, and all of a sudden, you're at fucking page 192, and it springs up on you. Say, damn, I'm literally three quarters of the way through this fucking book.
That's crazy, man. That is crazy.
And it's giving me the confidence to take on the Lonesome Dove.
I hear
which
pills.
Which I just got for 50 cents at a thrift store in the mountains, and that is about 800 pages.
All right, and so I'm Joy Tactics, the Joy Tactics Book Club is. What should we all read? Lonesome Dove all together, all Joy Tacticians.
Have you heard?
And Jack,
this book?
You can read this one.
You want to see what I'm reading?
Jack's on a private study.
It's very slim, but it's called
Damn.
How to Speak Southern. That's the name of this book.
What is that? A political cartoon?
No, it's not a political cartoon. It's a dictionary for people who aren't familiar with the South. So I'll read you one.
Yeah, read us off some.
How about this? Barbecue, a delectable Southern sandwich that is prepared properly.
So it's just like the way they say different words, like
yeah,
barbecue.
Chuch.
Australian.
It's like chich with no R.
Chuch.
Church.
I like orange juice.
Place of worship.
Now check out this book. This Hyperion, bro.
Oh, dude, I read about 50 pages of that.
Eric, why don't you read this one?
Griot.
I will say that Hyperion has a lot of Griot. Christian values in it, Eric.
Christian?
Yes, it has.
Well, I know there's
Christian
a fucking
undertones.
Priest up in the Mac in the mix. There's a priest
yes,
up in there.
And that's why I had to put it down.
Da-da-da.
So I can read it.
Well, man, it's been really good talking to you, Nate. I fucking miss you. I miss LA. I miss everything LA has to offer. And I'll be back.
Are you ready to get
tomorrow.
Back? Get
honestly,
out of this
bro,
fucking
get
New
me
York.
Out.
Get out of the jungle.
Get me out of New York. Get me the fuck
get into
out
the
of
desert.
Here,
you're not allowed to leave New York without paying respects to Jack Black at Saturday Night Live tonight.
You guys are going to that.
I'm giving him an envelope of cash. Just
he's,
to say
he's
thank
hosting
you.
Jack Black,
yeah,
Mr.
Bro.
Jack Black.
Yeah.
He's promoting the Minecraft movie.
The Minecraft.
Yeah. Yep.
Please try and get high with him.
Oh,
well, because of the Getting Doug with High episode.
Yeah.
Oh, do you know that I saw Doug Benson in South by?
Damn. I would love to chill with Doug Benson on
Me
the
too,
real.
Man. We can make that happen.
I would love to chill with him, but I'd want him to have a Celsius, maybe two cans of Celsius before.
Getting
that.
Celsius out with Benson, Jack Benson?
Getting Celsius out. You're sipping
Getting
on like so many.
Jack Celsius or whatever.
A 1,000 milligram challenge, 1,000 milligram caffeine challenge was Jack Benzinger.
That would be fun.
In a cardiovascular wing of a hospital.
Sober panic attack.
There's no danger, man. Don't freak out. One time my girlfriend in college took a lot of caffeine, and then that was scary. Caffeine is a serious drug, guys. Be careful. Okay. Let's get to what brought us joy.
I think we should. Let's see here. I'll kick it off. I saw a movie called The Penguin Lessons.
The what?
With
Steve Coogan?
With Steve Coogan.
Was it good?
From Tropic Thunder?
Yeah.
I can't quite, I couldn't even begin to describe if it was like, it was not good. It was not bad. It was not horrible. It was not great. It wasn't even average. It just existed in this other realm that it can't even be critiqued, you know? Like, I've never felt this way about a movie. Like, it was a movie that I never in my life thought I would see. And and it's also like tangentially about the same like thing that's going on with and I'm Still Here. Like it's in Argentina.
Really? Oh, right.
Yeah, like during that time. And I don't know. It was it's for like Danny described it as like a it's like a movie that like 90-year-olds watch on the plane, you know, kind mm-hmm. of. So it's like it's very wholesome. And I wouldn't recommend it, honestly. I definitely would not recommend it, but if you, yeah. So don't see it. And I'm kind of like the person who bears the cross.
But that gave you some joy.
To see Penguin Lessons. So you don't have to. So, yeah. Delicious. What about y'all? Jack? Eric?
Well, how about this?
Let's go first.
How about this little, this drawer.
Got a little.
I don't know what this is actually.
What is that?
I don't know if it's a jewelry drawer.
Oh shit!
It's a jewelry drawer or something.
That's cute.
Jewelry.
And when you open it, listen to this.
No. Wow.
That's one of the sickest little chimes. Bing. Bing.
Can you have this be that can be the score of your short film? You can do it behind the scenes.
That's a nice drawer. That was the most Mr. Rogers I feel like we've ever gotten on this.
You should play a live show. And it's all like drawer based, like opening a ballerina thing. Opening up birthday cards, you know.
Very Pan's Labyrinth, that sound there.
Pan's disgusting labyrinth with that disgusting fucking creature with the eyes. Yeah. Know about that. Okay, mine is going to be, well, I really enjoyed watching Ying Dance and all the entire Martha Graham Company. That was amazing. But I've also been listening to some new music. I have to say, sometimes there's a certain type of restaurant in Manhattan, in LA, where it's not like an amazing restaurant, it's just an okay one. This I'll even throw this to Houston's and like the Hillstone restaurants where the food's amazing, but it's not like cool. But I feel like they're getting music. They have like kind of knockoff club music that is like verges on easy listening.
Yeah.
And I want to know what these playlists are, because the amount of times I've Shazam songs at like a restaurant like that, like I was at this restaurant with Jess after the Martha Graham thing, where I Shazam like three songs in a row. One of them is called Love Like This. Sounds like this. Hold on. Please hold.
Okay, I'm holding.
You hear that, right?
The birds.
Do you hear that, right? Imagine drinking an old fashioned.
I hear it.
And eating some calamari to that.
This is some Mario Kart.
I don't know
Kart.
Why this is really
vibrating. Here's another
vibrating
one that you pulled up at that place we went to, that Michelin starred one.
Let's see it.
Do you remember this one?
Can't hear it. Did you turn the music thing on?
Oh, you can't. No, never mind. It's E-Swerve, Hypnotic Lullaby.
Oh, bro, E-Swerve. This is what I'm talking about. So to everyone curating those playlists at the restaurants, please hit me with that type of music like that. I love that shit.
That was like a Chopped and Screwed when you get the star in Mario Kart.
It is like that.
Do, 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 do.
Well, guys, we fucking broke down Agamemnon for you all. If you guys have any insights on that or how his story could apply to our modern age, our modern political age, please let us know.
Don't be, what was his quality? Arrogant.
Arrogant.
Don't be arrogant.
Or Clytemnestra will come for you.
A shirt or hat, they're for sale. Please, link in the show notes.
And we're going on tour. Catch Joy Tactics all across the world in 2038. We're going to be hitting the road.
And let us know what where you're wearing this shit. We want to see what type of activities you're doing. Okay.
Ciao.
Peace out, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Well, that concludes another incredible fucking episode of Joy Tactics. Head over to patreon.com/joytactics to unlock exclusive weekly bonus episodes. And make sure to follow us on social media where we post fire TikToks and hilarious shit like that. And if you loved the shit you just listened to, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Thanks for listening, and remember, we are shaped by our thoughts, we become what we think. When the mind is pure, joy follows like a shadow that never leaves.